music represents a huge power going on in our world right now. And it's a power that's in our Christian churches, our unchristian churches. It's in our schools. It's in the lives of our kids. It's overtaken education. There isn't anything that music doesn't involve itself with as a power. I know that in the earlier days, it's been studied that rock music, actually, the offbeat, the upbeat part, I got to yawn again.
Boy, this is terrible.
The upbeat will actually weaken our body physically. So what do we have today? We got people doing exercises to rock music, and it actually weakens their body during that thing. It may pump them up mentally, but it hurts them physically. You got football players, you got sports, basketball, all this kind of stuff to rock music, and they don't realize what it's doing to them physically. And they deny it because their mind thinks it's all pumped up and psyched up, but they're actually weaker physically. Oh, it's everywhere. It manipulates us in how we eat at restaurants, and it manipulates us into stealing or not stealing in stores. Music has touched absolutely everything. And like I said this morning or Wednesday night or whatever, if you do a study on the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, according to that King James Bible, you will see that music can imitate every one of those jobs of the Holy Spirit, if used wrongly or rightly or whatever, except one, and that's separate our flesh, our soul from our flesh. So you can think you're a Christian based on your music, and it can even be good music, and you can still be deceived. So we'll talk about some of that stuff maybe here tonight. The best thing to do is let's go to Acts chapter 26, and you'll see why this is such a big thing to us as Christians. Acts 26. We'll see if we get rid of these yawns tonight, too. Boy. Acts 26. It's the classic verse from Paul, where he says, go to the Gentiles, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That isn't just turning us from rock music to classical music. That's not the point at all. It's going to turn us into music that glorifies the devil or flesh or whatever, or doesn't take care of God, and we're going to turn to that music that does. And from the power of Satan unto God. So we're going to turn unto God with our music. So what does that mean? First, we need to understand music. It's just sound with vibrations. And we've grown to like certain sounds. Depends upon how long it's been around. How's that for music description? The notes are higher, the notes are lower. So that's all music really is. You put some order to it, like Caiaphas did. You can put some melodies to it, like Shem did, his races, his families. Or you can put the beat to it, like Ham did it, with his races after him. And you know what the statement was when Noah to the three sons, Japheth was the one whose works was going to be blessed by God. And so who was it that wrote the music up in such a manner that it praised God? That was Japheth. 1800s and the early 1900s, this Baroque classical era that was so pure and so clean that even the world called it absolute music. It was a beautiful sound. And even the world says that was beauty at its peak during the late Baroque, early classical. So that's Japheth. Ham emphasized the beat all the time. And a study of Ham's music, just review here, the study of Ham's music is to study where it was in the world, not how it grew. It never changed. Ham's music has never changed. It's the same old jungle beat as it's always been. And then you go into the harmonies that Japheth actually harmonized with in their clean harmonies. There's your emotions. Sad, happy, based on the harmonies that we study. And then the melodies that Shem came up with, those religious melodies. If you talk about music from Native Americans, for example, or Jewish or whatever, their music is very melody-oriented. So those we can get into that as we study music sometime here. Interesting stuff, though. If you clicked with this, it's very interesting stuff. Amazing. We look at the five strings attached to our liberty, because, see, if all things are lawful, then what's the problem with music? All music is lawful. Well, I guess it's not going to affect our fellowship with God. It's not going to affect our salvation. It's not going to dirty up our soul. But is it going to edify? No, not really. Well, you know. Is it expedient? Well, it might not be. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Sure, it could. Is it going to be a power over you? You bet there's a power over you of that music. Try to turn it off and go for a week. And is it an occasion for the flesh? It certainly can be. So yeah, it's still lawful, but we ought not be listening to the stuff we choose to listen to. Like I say, we don't have any choice sometimes. So don't, you know, deal with it, I guess. Maybe you do have a choice more than you realize, but not always you don't. You pipe in music into your store. You have no control what's going on. I've complained before in stores, in restaurants, and they can't do anything about it because it's programmed in from somewhere else. Isn't that amazing? Why can't your restaurant just play its own music? Why even play music at your restaurant? Just let people talk. Covers up their sound. Oh, it does more than that. We're not that stupid. Okay. So, there are those things there. Then I was concerned about how do we really practically apply this stuff into our lives. Because if we're going to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and it says, do works meet for repentance in verse 20, what are we going to do with our music? How do you deal with that when it comes to husband and wife differences, when it comes to parents and children differences, when it comes to children and parents, or school, or workplace, or whatever? This is a tough one. In so many ways, you can't do anything about it. And I have always said, you know, us adults can live with it. But boy, we start having our children, our babies and stuff, we start watching the area, the neighborhood, who the people are, who the neighborhoods are. We don't even let them play with our relatives if we don't like our relatives. Well, they're going to harm to them, you know. So tonight, that was kind of a rehash of this morning, but tonight I'm going to probably do a 3 or 4 series, I don't know, on concerns. Why should we be concerned about music? Should we? Is it that big of a deal? Nobody seems to be concerned about it, except maybe you folks. You wouldn't have come back tonight if you weren't interested in the subject of music, unless you're just doing this because it looks good and you like to hear my voice. Da, 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 da. As I yawn and drink my ice water in front of over the microphone. We talked this morning about the wicked generation that's coming with the youth, and a lot of them are here already. It's really rough out there when it comes to young people. We're living in a time where it's becoming more and more men like women. Talked about that in Isaiah and Jeremiah. There's a time where the men even know the women were worshiping wrong, and the men wouldn't do anything about it. That's in Jeremiah. We're looking at the flatteries that are going on today. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We're really up against a lot. If you're going to stand on the King James Bible, we're up against a lot. You know, here you are, you could be falling in love with somebody and they're not a King James Bible person. What do you do? Pretty tough stuff. Well, I'm just not going to marry him. Well, you know, that's just not that easy. I'm sure it's just not that easy. So let's do this. Let's go here to Let's go to Luke, of all places. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Should we even be concerned about music? That's how this one's going to be looked at here tonight. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. I hear those imaginary pages over the imaginary website that's engulfed this world, that communications transfers over, and soon someday will be used by the Antichrist himself to control people. You'll be able to get your music from the satellite. Oh, you already can. You'll be able to have somebody else control the music you listen to. Oh, they already do. I can tell a good movie that comes out is going to be a classic because they use the right kind of music. You know? Luke 12:39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Well, that's duh. However, we also read through and through there that the strong man of the house has been taken away. The man has no power anymore. The women don't even have the power anymore. We get into Isaiah chapter 3 again, and we see where the children are running things more and more. And those of us who love our children to the point where we don't want to do anything if it doesn't make them happy or if it causes them to cry, or we're going to let them learn the hard way, or we're going to let them continue to do something because we don't want to ruin their day, our children already run us. Look at your little children that are out there. What do you do as a father or as a wife? What activities do you do based on your kids? How about the atmosphere of your home? Are you letting them cry because you don't want them to cry, so you're doing everything you can to keep them from crying? Then if you do that, your children already rule your house. So we're looking here at a man. A man should be concerned about the music for his family. And the guy's going, oh, man, isn't it enough that I make money and I try to get a job for everybody? I got to watch their friends. Now I got to watch their music and all this stuff. I mean, I can't just dictate to my children their exact life. I don't know why not, up to where they have to make their own decisions. But we all know that when the kids are little, 0 to 1, 2, 3, right, and that's when the concrete is poured into the mold. And once it hardens, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and 9, 10, 11, 12, you're never going to break it unless you just crumble the concrete and then you've destroyed your kid. So right now, when your kids are the littlest, this is when you want to be the most concerned about their music. So let's look here at Proverbs, of all places. Let's go to Proverbs. And the word is prudent. So as we're going to talk about the concerns of music, I've got to talk to us men, and women, of course, the mothers and everything too, no doubt about it. Proverbs 14. But we're going to see how important it is for us to even be concerned. Do we even want to be concerned? We must be willing to watch for these thieves that are going to break into our home and steal what they're going to steal. Now, you've been a good man. You haven't allowed the thief to come in and steal the King James Bible out of your home. That's good. You're a good man. You probably don't let them watch a bunch of junk on television. The commercials are horrible. Maybe you're a strong enough man to not even have a television. Maybe you control the videos. It's a few videos that you do watch, knowing that they not only do they just show bad stuff, but they just waste a lot of time. This movie entertainment is just fantasy, pretend. Don't you wish your marriage was that good? Don't you wish your husband looked like him? Don't you wish your wife looked like him? Don't you wish your children behaved like they did? Don't you wish your backyard had Mount McKinley in it and had a bunch of moose and bear running around in your yard and they would come up to your porch?
And they would die right there in your spot right by the freezer? Don't you wish you could go out there and fish in those streams and just catch all this marvelous stuff, and you can sneak up on this 45-point elk. You can drop him with one arrow right between the eyes, you know. We just look at this stuff. We just pretend. It's just all fantasy. It's all imagination. We have to be entertained anymore. Our life just is so cruel. But yeah, we look at Proverbs 14, verse 8. Proverbs 14, verse 8. Is the sound okay? Are we not cracking up and stuff tonight? Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Okay, so here we are. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Prudent makes you a prude, but you want to do the right thing, and you're looking ahead, you're keeping track, you're watching around you. You're prudent in matters. We'll define this thing as we go here. Look at verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. We don't just blindly flow down the highway. You know, when we drive, we're looking for potholes, we're looking for skunks, we're looking for deer, and we're looking ahead. We're looking for the storm that's coming up back there. We're looking for the tornado that's coming in your rearview mirror. How fast can you go to outdrive it? You know, we're prudent drivers. Dad taught me, if anything Dad taught about driving was be a defensive driver. Watch out for these guys that might cut in front of you. Always leave yourself an out. Always have a place to turn in case somebody pulls in front of you. That kind of thing. So you're a prudent driver. Are you a prudent father when it comes to music? Why? What can happen with music? Well, this is the stuff we're going to get into. Why should we be concerned? Why should we be prudent? Look at chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. We go into that verse in Timothy where it talks about the Bible, or the Word of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. So this Bible ought to be able to teach us about music. It's not going to show us the lines and the A-B-A-F-A-C-E and every good bird does fly, and half notes and whole notes and chords and modulations and progressions and instrumentations and timbre and nuances and allegrettos and allegros, all this kind of stuff. But it's going to teach us how to be prudent towards music, as we'll see over the next couple of weeks here. Look at chapter 19. Now, just so we know that it's not just, I mean, it's a man that needs to be prudent. So if anything comes out of this series, if it makes you look ahead for music coming down the road, men, not your wife, but you, you make it your business what music your family listens to and hears.
you know, have you ever left a place because of music? We have many times. But we haven't left the place sometimes, even though the music was terrible, because there was no place else to go, whatever it was we were doing there. But we didn't stay long. And I did not want to have my kids here. However, today both of my kids are into junky music, so does it do any good to try? Sure it does. Because that'll be your judgment seat as a father. If they don't want to take heed to it, then that's their choice when time gets far enough along. So we see here in 19:14, it says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. So see, that's a good thing, that we would have a wife that would want to be prudent as well. She wants to look for the way. She wants to understand where this sense is going. She wants to do the right thing. She wants your kids to be given the right stuff. Now, keep in mind, all sorts of differences there, though. Bunny trail here. You do a study through Proverbs, and when our children do something wrong, and it bothers the mother more than it seems to bother the father, and here's the woman that wants to be the holy and honorable, what is that that Paul talks about? Honorable. Is it holy? Honorable and devout. Honorable and devout women. Women want to do it the right way. Women want to do it just right. They want to follow the book. They want to follow the law. Women would be happy with the Levitical law being brought out again. I think a lot of them would be. They somehow think that they can do it, but when they aren't doing it themselves, they are very good at showing where us men are not doing it good at all. So, one of Paul's biggest enemies was honorable and devout women. I think it's Acts 13. But still, a woman should want to have what's right for her little darlings that she went through so much tribulation and pain to carry for 9 months and blow it out like a mushroom in the middle of a green lawn, you know, her toadstool tummies and all that stuff, and go through the pain of what they go through. They would be concerned about their children. So see, when a child messes up, it's the woman that really gets upset. The woman can get bitter, and the woman can be hurt. And it says in the Proverbs that the woman will even want to leave after a while if it gets so bad. But it then shows that the man responds to it differently. And one of the things kids are good at over this music thing is they can go to mom, and they can get her to make a decision one way. Then go to dad, and if one agrees and one doesn't, they can play us between the wives and the husbands something fierce, because there is a difference. When a wife says to a husband, why don't you da-da-da-da about the children, you know, the man isn't looking at it that way. Man doesn't see the music as such an issue as many women do. So what have we got? We got a fight out of the deal. And the kids go merrily rolling along listening to their garbage music. Or even their good music, too much, or whatever. So, yes, a prudent wife is from the Lord. But we also realize that wife is to learn from the man. So if men, if we realize that we have already let the crooks, the thieves come into our house, it's going to be tough to try to get them out of the house, I'll tell you. But if we're aware of that stuff, we can still get them out of the house. What do? Well, you get the best weapon you can get. You get a .44 or .45 or a .96 or whatever you want to get for your gun, you can get that thief to leave your house if you get the drop on him. Well, you get a King James Bible, you can get this junk out of our houses that's already in our homes. We can get rid of that stuff, but you got to take the book to it, and you can get that stuff out of your house. Now, you may lose your family over it, but aren't you doing your job as a man? Do what's right. Don't try to flatter your family to keep them. Ben, if you're out there and listening to this stuff, one of the things that kids don't want to do nowadays is allow dad to be the prudent man, because sometimes dad makes a decision you don't like. And if dad's in his book enough, he'll realize that, well, dad, I'm going to trust you to steer me. That's pretty tough. Now, I also want people out there that have, and seriously, lousy fathers. I mean, lousy fathers. They may even say they're Christian King James guys. And if you followed them, you'd be immodest, you'd be rude, you'd be blaspheming the Word of God, you'd be all sorts of stuff. So, you know, this is tough. We don't have the parents that we can trust like we should. Really isn't a call for the little kids, but it is a call for, it is a possible call for the older kids. It's too bad the things are that bad, isn't it? It's really hard for a pastor to say, well, trust your father. I don't do any fathers that, man, I wouldn't trust them for 5 seconds. And I wouldn't expect the kids to either. One of the hardest things about me teaching is I see the problems kids have, and I know that most of it is parent-related. Why does our principal get all of our kids together and chew them out for having bad attendance? Elementary kids? Like, is it their fault they're not in school? They don't drive. It's their parents' fault. Let's go after the right people here. Anyway, let's get off that subject here. So we see in Proverbs that it is a prudent wife is from the Lord, and that's a good thing to have. Let's look here at 22. Let's go to chapter 22. This is the one I like the most. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Okay, now, that's my point. Does a man see the problem? Does he have a concern about music? And if he does, he hides himself. He hides himself and he hides his family. He keeps him from that stuff. He deals with it. Doesn't mean you have to just go off and hide behind a rock. You're going to hide yourself from it. You're going to learn how to avoid it. You're going to learn how to withdraw from it. You're going to learn why. And you're going to be able to explain it to your family. And it's tough stuff. It's tough stuff. And then lastly here, let's look at Proverbs 27. I know, women are so good with their prudency that they want their man to lead, but they want their man to lead the way they want him to lead. So, well, a lot of good that does. Well, I forget the name of that book that's out there, Magnificent Woman or something. I forget what that was thing is called. It's a great hit in the churches. How to teaches the women how to make your man think he's leading the ship and yet you're still guiding it. How to make him think he's the boss. That's a big deal going on right now. I remember one of the ladies back at the church, back at that other place, said one time to me, "Oh, he doesn't lead us, but I just make him think he does." Yeah, that's too bad. 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. There it is again. But the simple pass on and are punished. So, we're living in a day where there's tons of knowledge, but somehow us men don't know the knowledge we're supposed to know. We know this other piddly stuff that doesn't do any good for us. So let's get back on track. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So I want us to be aware of music is a concern. And us men especially, but women, everybody that's out there, we need to be aware of the fact that this music is a dangerous thing today, if we already don't know it. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. A lot of people blame or they use the fact that God hasn't stopped them from listening to music. God hasn't told them that music is wrong. So they listen to it and they play it and they think, because God hasn't told me. Well, how's God going to tell you? Is he going to tell you in a dream? Is he going to stop you from listening? Is he going to destroy your record player, your CD, DVD, computer, TV, video box stuff? He's going to let it happen. Romans 2, the goodness of God. Let's it go for now. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, one of his biggest concerns is that we all be tricked.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. You know these verses. Again, nothing new for you here. Would to God you would bear with me a little with my... You could bear with me in a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, and have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. By a fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Then you jump over to verse 13, and we've got people out there that are teaching good stuff, good morals, good righteousness, all this kind of stuff, but they're not teaching God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, rightly divided through Paul, da 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 da. And he says here, for such are as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So if he can do it, why can't we do it? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It's no great thing. I mean, it's no big deal. It's a piece of cake for a guy to get a pulpit and to get a church and to tell people what they should be doing that's right and yet miss everything. That's called religion. Goes back to verse 4 of chapter 11. It says, "Or he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached," which they do, "or if ye receive another spirit," small s, "which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye would have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." That's Paul's fear.
My fear for our music is not only would it cause people to stumble, it would be not edifying, it would not be expedient, it would totally be an occasion to the flesh, but one of the things that bothers me about music, that when we listen to music that's not the clean kind of music, and it's not done for the wrong purpose, etc., 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 then you're giving the devil a chance for some glory, or your flesh to glory. If our flesh glories, so does the devil. Does it have to be that way? No, it doesn't have to be that way. We can still do music that pleases God. Now, I wouldn't have Mark be playing Sousa on this website if I didn't believe that John Philip Sousa music was clean music.
One, you would think when you get onto a church website or the preaching and stuff that there would be wonderful grace of Jesus, you know, and it is well, and all these kind of hymns. Well, that's true. Not a problem. Some of them, anyway. I don't do a lot of them anymore. And yet, Sousa, musically, is as clean as you'll get. It's even cleaner than Handel and Bach and those guys. Maybe sometime I want to put a Sousa side up and explain to people why Sousa should come so highly recommended by me. But I believe that Sousa music fits Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I wrote from a musical standpoint. There's no words to it, so we don't have to worry about that. Just the music itself. John Philip Sousa. Listen to him sometime. I've got one piece on my website, but Mark will zip some more too. I could, I guess. Okay, so we're looking here at should we be prudent men and be alert to what's coming in music? Sure we should. I don't have a problem with that at all. Now, dig up something here. Where did it go? Flip to the next page here. I'm going to try to redo one of these things that's online. So I try to follow order a little bit here instead of my own flapping my wing stuff. You know, we believe that too many people believe that if you're doing right, God will bless you. And if you're doing wrong, God will not bless you. You know, and here we have people that are talking right, doing right, you know, they're dressing right, they're trying to eat right, trying to smell right, do the right thing, hanging around the right kind of people, all that kind of stuff. And that there still may be something wrong in your life that still is it robbing you of God's fellowship? No, because God will never pull away. Will it rob you of your salvation? No, because we can't lose that salvation. It can quench the Spirit, though. We can still do stuff in our life. The Spirit is quenched. Why else would Paul say, quench not the Spirit? Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Quench not the Spirit. Verse 19. So apparently this Holy Spirit that's locked up inside us, sealed inside us, would have left
by now because of our music. See, look at Amos chapter 5.
Backwards there. Amos, Hosea, Amos chapter 5. In verse 21 it says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. There was a time that God did not like the music that was being played to him in this temple worship day stuff.
Okay, so we have the Spirit of God in us now, and yes, all things are lawful, and yet our music can be such that it can still quench the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God can't leave, but apparently, maybe some of our lack of victories in our lives is we reap what we sow, obviously, and it isn't God going to stop us. He says that in Romans chapter 2 again. But still, can the Spirit of God be quenched, means stopped from doing what it would like to do? I look at it this way. I kind of picture the Holy Spirit as when I go into a store and the music's horrible. I just picture the Holy Spirit going, oh, I don't want to hear this. This is just impure. I don't want to be in here, but I can't leave. And he starts pounding to get out. Boof, 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 boof. You know, I want out. Get me out of here. And he can't. He's sealed. And how many times do we think, I should say, do we not think, when we're into something we ought not be into? And maybe this music that we're listening to or hearing is quenching the Spirit such that we don't hear the verses that we've read. Well, you know, John 16 says that the Spirit of God is going to bring back those things that we've been reading. So I don't have a problem with that, memory or whatever. Spirit of God is not going to tell us anything we haven't read. He's not going to tell us something that's in Timothy if you've never read Timothy. A rocker gets saved. How is he going to know how to throw out his music until he gets into his Bible to realize he needs to throw out his music? God isn't going to just tell him that. It might be because of the goodness of religion that some of these guys change things, but it isn't going to be because God told them in the Scriptures, kind of a deal. So maybe one of the problems people have is based on their music. Maybe that's the quenching factor in your life.
possible. Quench not the Spirit of God. Quench not the Holy Spirit. So, isn't it possible that your music might be the problem here? Now, what if I don't listen to rock music and crummy music and jazz? I don't listen to that kind of stuff. I listen to Handel and Bach every chance I can get. But possibly you listen to Handel and Bach and all this good music when you should be reading your Bible? When you should be meditating, thinking about stuff? You know, driving down the road and you got to have your music going? Why? Why don't you turn your music off and roll the window down and let all the grasshoppers slap you in the face as you're driving down the prairie and just think about what it was like in those days to ride a prairie wagon across maybe 5 miles for the day, not knowing how many rattlesnakes there and all this kind of stuff. Maybe you had to ride through a buffalo herd and a prairie fire is behind you. Helps you appreciate what you're living in. Helps you appreciate that you've even got a car. You start appreciating what life is. All, you know what I'm saying? We don't think anymore. We kind of block our minds. We'll talk about that more later too. So maybe it's just good music. Remember what I said in Daniel chapter 3, I think it is, or Daniel 5. Daniel 5, talking about when they hear all kinds of music, they're going to bow down to the Nebuchadnezzar, the image of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a type of Antichrist. So all kinds of music is good and bad music. Isn't just one or the other. We've talked about that before too. Nothing new here. Nothing new here for you tonight. Okay, so maybe this is your problem. Maybe this is somebody's problem out there. And most people don't understand. How can that possibly be? It doesn't have words to it. It's just the music. How can music hurt me? Well, let's go to First Corinthians chapter 14. And we talk about voices. And when it says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7, even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So if you don't, what is distinction? How do you know what that music's supposed to sound like? And seriously, one of the worst subjects ever taught in schools, that should have been the most important, I know, all teachers say that, the sports guys say that too, and da-da-da-da, but no. Should have been the music class. Everybody should come out of school understanding the language of music, because the devil's going to use the world's music to bring everybody together, and if you don't understand that music, you're going to follow like a blind bat. And that's what's happening. Look up at verse 10. There are maybe so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Well, sure, it's all important. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I should be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And how many of you guys out there understand the language of music? The staff, the notes, the expressions, the tension resolving, the progressions, the purpose of progressions, and how it manipulates your flesh. How a good melody is compared to a bad melody. What's good harmony and bad harmony? What's good? How can you say Sousa is good? It's got a drum in it. A drum is nothing wrong with a drum. It's what you do with a drum. Nothing wrong with a cigarette unless you light it up and stick it in your mouth and breathe in like a moron. Or pay $16 a pack or whatever that stuff is, and you wonder why you don't want to pay for your kid's school because you spend $300-$400 a month on smoking fags. Yeah, that's what's wrong with that stuff. It's got a power over you. That's all it is. And you're polluting your body. Well, come on. What kind of chemicals are we eating every day? Those people that think that they're eating organic, sure, we're eating more organic than we usually do, but there's so many chemicals in that stuff. You look at a candy bar, they can hardly get the ingredients on that paper. So we're poisoning ourselves. We are. We can't help it. We might have a couple good days of a good organic thing you grew in your garden, but come on, you're eating ramen noodles. I've heard that big one by lots and lots of people. I guess that's like the king of MSG. My kids are into that one now. They love it. Oh, man, that's chemical stuff. And no wonder kids act like they do in schools. I think a lot of it's because what they had for breakfast and their food they have at night. It's just been proven. Why does a bowl of Sugar Crisp has to have 20 pounds of sugar and all those other chemicals that are in there? Can't you take some of those chemicals out and wouldn't it still taste like Sugar Crisp? It did when I was a kid. Hadn't even invented some of those chemicals when I was a kid. And you didn't even have the word chemical. Huh. Anyway. Okay. So, issue is, need to be concerned because it can affect our lives.
It can affect our children's lives, how it can cause them to stumble. It can affect somebody who wants to see what it is to be a King James man, and you listen to crummy music, everything else you do is right, and they see you listening to some kinds of music, there goes your testimony, because they know better than that. Maybe they don't. It's a power over us. It isn't always expedient to turn on music, even if it's good music. If you want to have something going on in your house because you live alone, I can't imagine, I know some of you do, then pop on Scorby. And I know, listen, sometimes it's the last thing you want to do is to listen to some guy read his Bible out loud when you're lonely in your home and you're kind of grumpy from work. The last thing you want to do is pop on, okay, fine. Then put on some good music for a little while. But if it becomes where that's all you want to do, you're hooked. And something has become a power over you, and right off the bat, whether good or bad, you're doing something wrong that doesn't please God. That's Paul's teachings. And sure, the Gospels talk about, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Okay, now we take that verse in John, and we think that if we do right, then we're going to have a more abundant, physically blessed life. That isn't what Paul says at all. If you're going to be a prudent man, you know the enemy you're going to have is going to be your own family. The more you love, you know the answer to that, the less you're going to be loved. The more abundantly you love, like Paul says, the less you're going to be loved. I promise you that. And somebody says, leave me alone. I say, no, I love you. I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm going to try not to let that happen to you. You know, I always say to my brothers, if you guys love me, you would tell me why I'm wrong with what I say about Bible. But you won't do that. You'll just get mad at me for not being a Lutheran. Tell me where I'm wrong, if you care for me. I care for you enough to show you where you're wrong in your doctrinal stuff, in your teachings. I care for you. I love you. Don't you love me to try to get me out of my stupidity that you think I'm in? Nobody cares. You think I'm wrong about music? Okay, show me. Or don't you care about me? Now you can do what you want. Then you don't love me. You tell us the people you love. You could care less if some bimbo is walking down the street with his boombox velcroed to his shoulder and bumping up and down in the street. By the way, we only have one boombox car in all of Kadoka, so I can put up with him. Kind of funny. But what do? You care for somebody, you tell them. If you don't want to tell them, you don't care anymore. You don't love them. Okay. Talked about Daniel. Talked about 1 Corinthians being a barbarian. The strings attached to our liberty. Here's one I guess I didn't talk about. We'll try to get at it. We'll kind of finish it up here. We'll kind of finish it up here as a kind of an off the trail thing here. Let's go to Numbers. You know, I'm not sure everybody knows about this illustration. You know, we're supposed to go to the Old Testament for admonition and learning. Let's learn to see what it is Moses can teach us about music. It's in Numbers. I think it's around 20 something here. Yeah, Moses chapter 20. There we go. Yeah, right. Numbers chapter 20. And we know the first time that Moses, this is in Exodus chapter 17, these people were whining because they wanted water. You know the story. And he whacked a rock and boom, they got water. The second time around in Numbers chapter 20, these guys again are complaining. And God says to Moses here, he says in verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, which, remember, is a big assembly. And that, when you think about numbers of biblical proportions, as they say, this is an amazing thing to picture, but that's okay. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and I hope none of you are thinking of Charlton Heston's little scene. That's just piddly stuff. You know, but the Bible shows you the picture here. And Aaron their brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation of their beasts to drink. Okay, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Sometimes I feel like that. You know, listen, you guys, you're here. Why don't you want to read your own Bibles and figure this out yourself, kind of a deal back then? Anyway. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote. He wasn't supposed to smote it. He was supposed to say something to it. But look at what happens in verse 11. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So Moses, what are you getting upset over? You got your water. Everybody was happy, except God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Way to go, Moses. But he got what he wanted. He got it abundantly. It made everybody happy. But it was wrong. And Moses had to pay. We ought to be glad for the judgment seat of Christ, because that's where we're going to pay. We should ought to be glad that there's no law, because now it doesn't matter whether you strike the rock or speak to it. The water's there for your getting. But if you still get it wrongly, it's not right. So you want people to come to your church more? Okay. Let's bring in Father Abraham and his 15 camels, his little rock group. You'll have people coming. Let's get rid of the King James Bible. People will start coming. Let's really push this music thing. I think I'm going to start, let's have worship teams. And come worship with us. That's safe. Everybody loves this music. We can all do this together. And we become united and unity. Unified and all that stuff, and we love each other more, because come to our church, we'll come to your church, and we all sing together, and we do our little feely-feelies and rowdy-rowdies, and music is a great ecumenicalizer. It's powerful ecumenicalizer. Brings everybody together.
It works, but it's still wrong. We can learn from Moses. He got it water abundantly, but he did it wrong, and he had to pay. So, are we going to have to pay? Yeah, judgment seat. But God is going to strike us down. He's not going to keep us from going to heaven, which is what happened here. Moses was kept out of the promised land. That's why we still need to study Paul. So we know that can't happen to us, but still, it proves a point. Just because it works doesn't mean it's right. You know, you can get your kids to quiet down. You can give in and let them take the stick and beat their little sister. If you let him do it, he'll quiet down. If you give a kid a piece of candy in the store, he'll quiet down. If you let the kids walk around the house and rule the house, everybody will be happier for now. It's still wrong. And we will reap what we sowed. If not now, tomorrow. It isn't God punishing us. We are reaping what we sowed. I could go back and tell you in a million times what I did wrong as a father. And I can see right now that the kids are reaping because of it. But I can also do some things that would... I'm not going to do that. Anyways, we'll get into that stuff. I don't want to give in to this thing.
Okay, so there you go for tonight. That's just, again, another intro regarding the concerns of music and the prudent... What I want to get tonight is we need to be prudent men. Let's be aware of what's going on. I haven't got time. Take the time. This music will destroy Adriana. This music can destroy patients still. This music can destroy your kids' white cottons. Katie, I don't know what you got going on in your life, but it can destroy your children or family or whatever, whatever you come up to. You know, Sam, you had to play a lot of stuff in that submarine, I'll bet. And what are you going to do? Avoid that? Walk out to open up the top there and jump out during the water? What are you going to do? Tough thing. Anyway, there's the bit for music tonight. Hope that made sense to you. Hope the sound was okay. We'll get into more specifics here coming up here. Don't let the music quench the spirit, even if it's good music. Don't be doing music just for the sake of doing music. But when you do it, do the right stuff. If in doubt, pop on a Sousa. Clean stuff. Anyway, there you go. Good night, y'all. Understand John Philip Sousa, who he was or what it was. He was no great godly man. He just wrote some of the cleanest, if not the cleanest, music in America at a time when America was peeking out in its format of a nation as far as freedoms and morals and all this kind of stuff. After that, it was downhill musically. Pretty interesting stuff. John Philip Sousa predicted the fall of America based on the invention of the record player. He said that canned music will destroy America. That was back in the early 1900s, very early 1900s. Interesting. Okay, tonight. I hope the sound is better. I haven't done anything differently. I don't know what the deal was this morning. But I listened to it, and it was like, I'll put it on, but it's just not going to be much to listen to, I suppose, for some people. So I will try to reiterate amongst my yawns a little bit tonight what we're talking about. But I'm going to plot on here with music for a couple sermons and see where this stuff goes, because I don't like my website on music anymore. It's probably safe, and there's a lot of stuff on there, but it doesn't emphasize Pauline doctrine. It doesn't discount it. It uses it, but anyway, I got one more yawn to get in. Went to Wall Drug for our 40th anniversary dinner. How's that for pizzazz? Mr. Moneybags here. Music represents a huge power going on in our world right now. And it's a power that's in our Christian churches, our unchristian churches. It's in our schools. It's in the lives of our kids. It's overtaken education. There isn't anything that music doesn't involve itself with as a power. I know that in the earlier days, it's been studied that rock music, actually, the upbeat part, I got to yawn again.
Boy, this is terrible.
The upbeat will actually weaken our body physically. So what do we have today? We got people doing exercises to rock music, and it actually weakens their body during that thing. It may pump them up mentally, but it hurts them physically. You got football players, you got sports, basketball, all this kind of stuff to rock music, and they don't realize what it's doing to them physically. And they deny it because their mind thinks it's all pumped up and psyched up, but they're actually weaker physically. Oh, it's everywhere. It manipulates us in how we eat at restaurants. It manipulates us into stealing or not stealing in stores. Music has touched absolutely everything. And like I said this morning or Wednesday night or whatever, if you do a study on Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, according to the King James Bible, you will see that music can imitate every one of those jobs of the Holy Spirit, if used wrongly or rightly or whatever, except one, and that separate our flesh, our soul from our flesh. So you can think you're a Christian based on your music, and it can even be good music, and you can still be deceived. So we'll talk about some of that stuff maybe here tonight. The best thing to do is just go to Acts chapter 26, and you'll see why this is such a big thing to us as Christians. Acts 26. We'll see if we get rid of these yawns tonight, too. Boy. Acts 26. It's the classic verse from Paul, where it says, go to the Gentiles, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That isn't just turning us from rock music to classical music. That's not the point at all. It's going to turn us into music that glorifies the devil or flesh or whatever, or doesn't take care of God, and we're going to turn to that music that does. And from the power of Satan unto God. So we're going to turn unto God with our music. Well, what does that mean? First, we need to understand music. It's just sound with vibrations. And we've grown to like certain sounds. Depends upon how long it's been around.
How's that for music description? The notes are higher, the notes are lower. So that's all music really is. You put some order to it, like Capus did. You can put some melodies to it, like Shem did, his races, his families. Or you can put the beat to it, like Ham did it, with his races after him. And you know what the statement was when Noah to the three sons, Japheth was the one whose works was going to be blessed by God. And so who was it that wrote the music up in such a manner that it praised God? That was Japheth. 1800s and the early 1900s, this Baroque classical era that was so pure and so clean that even the world called it absolute music. It was a beautiful sound. And even the world says that was beauty at its peak during the late Baroque, early classical. So that's Japheth. Ham emphasized the beat all the time. And a study of Ham's music, just review here, the study of Ham's music is to study where it was in the world.
not how it grew. It never changed. Adam's music has never changed. It's the same old jungle beat as it's always been. And then they go into the harmonies that Japheth actually harmonized with in their clean harmonies. There's your emotions. Sad, happy, based on the harmonies that we study. And then the melodies that Shem came up with, those religious melodies. If you talk about music, Native Americans, for example, or Jewish or whatever, their music is very melody-oriented. So those we can get into that as we study music sometime here. Interesting stuff, though. If you clicked with this, it's very interesting stuff. Amazing. We look at the five strings attached to our liberty, because, see, if all things are lawful, then what's the problem with music? All music is lawful. Well, I guess it's not going to affect our fellowship with God. It's not going to affect our salvation. It's not going to dirty up our soul. But is it going to edify? No, not really. Well, you know, is it expedient? Well, it might not be. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Sure, it could. Is it going to be a power over you? You bet there's a power over you, that music. Try to turn it off and go for a week. And is it an occasion for the flesh? Certainly can be. So yeah, it's still lawful, but we ought not be listening to the stuff we choose to listen to. Like I say, we don't have any choice sometimes. So don't, you know, deal with it, I guess. Maybe you do have a choice more than you realize. But not always you don't. You pipe in music into your store. You have no control what's going on. I've complained before in stores, in restaurants, and they can't do anything about it because it's programmed in from somewhere else. Isn't that amazing? Why can't your restaurant just play its own music? Why even play music at your restaurant? Just let people talk. Covers up their sound. Oh, it does more than that. We're not that stupid. Okay. So, there are those things there. I was concerned about how do we really practically apply this stuff into our lives. Because if we're going to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and it says, do works meet for repentance in verse 20, what are we going to do with our music? How do you deal with that when it comes to husband and wife differences, when it comes to parents and children differences, when it comes to children and parents, or school, or workplace, or whatever? This is a tough one. In so many ways, you can't do anything about it. And I have always said, you know, us adults can live with it, but boy, we start having our children and babies and stuff, we start watching the area, the neighborhood, who the people are, who the neighborhoods are. We don't even let them play with our relatives if we don't like our relatives, whether they're going to harm to them, you know. So tonight, that was kind of a rehash of this morning, but tonight I'm going to probably do a three or four series, I don't know, on concerns. Why should we be concerned about music? Should we? Is it that big of a deal? Nobody seems to be concerned about it, except maybe you folks. You wouldn't have come back tonight if you weren't interested in the subject of music, unless you're just doing this because it looks good and you like to hear my voice. Da 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 da. As I yawn and drink my ice water in front of over the microphone. We talked this morning about the wicked generation that's coming with the youth, and a lot of them are here already. It's really rough out there when it comes to young people. We're living in a time where it's becoming more and more men like women. We talked about that in Isaiah and Jeremiah. There's a time where that men even know the women were worshiping wrong, and the men wouldn't do anything about it. That's in Jeremiah. We're looking at the flatteries that are going on today, which we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We're really up against a lot. If you're going to stand on the King James Bible, we're up against a lot. You know, here you are, you could be falling in love with somebody and they're not a King James Bible person. What do you do? Pretty tough stuff. Well, I'm just not going to marry him. Well, you know, it's just not that easy. I'm sure it's just not that easy. So let's do this. Let's go here to let's go to Luke, of all places. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Should we even be concerned about music? That's how this one's going to be looked at here tonight. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. I hear those imaginary pages over the imaginary website that's engulfed this world, that communications transfers over, and soon someday will be used by the Antichrist himself to control people. You'll be able to get your music from the satellite. Oh, you already can. You'll be able to have somebody else control the music you listen to. Oh, they already do. I can tell a good movie that comes out is going to be a classic because they use the right kind of music. You know? Luke 12:39.
And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Well, that's duh. However, we also read through and through there that the strong man of the house has been taken away. The man has no power anymore. The women don't even have the power anymore. We get into Isaiah chapter 3 again, and we see where the children are running things more and more.
And those of us who love our children to the point where we don't want to do anything if it doesn't make them happy, or if it causes them to cry, or we're going to let them learn the hard way, or we're going to let them continue to do something because we don't want to ruin their day, our children already run us. Look at your little children that are out there. What do you do as a father, or as a wife? What activities do you do based on your kids? How about the atmosphere of your home? Are you letting them cry because you don't want them to cry, so you're doing everything you can to keep them from crying? Then if you do that, your children already rule your house. So we're looking here at a man. A man should be concerned about the music for his family. And the guy's going, oh man, isn't it enough that I make money and I try to get a job for everybody? I got to watch their friends, now I got to watch their music and all this stuff. I mean, I can't just dictate to my children their exact life. I don't know why not, up to where they have to make their own decisions. But we all know that when the kids are little, 0 to 1, 2, 3, right, and that's when the concrete is poured into the mold. And once it hardens, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and 9, 10, 11, 12, you're never going to break it unless you just crumble the concrete and then you've destroyed your kid. So right now, when your kids are the littlest, this is when you want to be the most concerned about their music. So let's look here at Proverbs, of all places. Let's go to Proverbs. And the word is prudent. So as we're going to talk about the concerns of music, I've got to talk to us men, and women, of course, the mothers and everything too, no doubt about it. Proverbs 14. But we're going to see how important it is for us to even be concerned. Do we even want to be concerned? We must be willing to watch for these thieves that are going to break into our home and steal what they're going to steal. Now, you've been a good man. You haven't allowed the thief to come in and steal the King James Bible out of your home. That's good. You're a good man. You probably don't let them watch a bunch of junk on television. The commercials are horrible. Maybe you're a strong enough man to not even have a television. Maybe you control the videos. It's a few videos that you do watch, knowing that they not only do they just show bad stuff, but they just waste a lot of time. This movie entertainment is just fantasy, pretend. Don't you wish your marriage was that good? Don't you wish your husband looked like him? Don't you wish your wife looked like him? Don't you wish your children behaved like they did? Don't you wish your backyard had Mount McKinley in it? And had a bunch of moose and bear running around in your yard, and they would come up to your porch? And they would die right there in your spot, right by the freezer? Don't you wish you could go out there and fish in those streams and just catch all this marvelous stuff, and you can sneak up on this 45-point elk. You can drop him with one arrow right between the eyes, you know. We just look at this stuff. We just pretend. It's just all fantasy. It's all imagination. We have to be entertained anymore. Our life just is so cruel. But yet we look at Proverbs 14, verse 8. Proverbs 14, verse 8. Is the sound okay? Are we not cracking up and stuff tonight?
Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Okay, so here we are. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Prudent makes you a prude, but you want to do the right thing, and you're looking ahead, you're keeping track, you're watching around you. You're prudent in matters. We'll define this thing as we go here. Look at verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. We don't just blindly flow down the highway. You know, when we drive, we're looking for potholes, we're looking for skunks, we're looking for deer, and we're looking ahead. We're looking for the storm that's coming up back there. We're looking for the tornado that's coming in your rearview mirror. How fast can you go to outdrive it? You know, we're prudent drivers. Dad taught me, if anything Dad taught about driving was be a defensive driver. Watch out for these guys that might cut in front of you. Always leave yourself an out. Always have a place to turn in case somebody pulls in front of you. That kind of thing. So you're a prudent driver. Are you a prudent father when it comes to music? Why? What can happen with music? Well, this is the stuff we're going to get into. Why should we be concerned? Why should we be prudent? Look at chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. We go into that verse in Timothy where it talks about the Bible there, the Word of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. So this Bible ought to be able to teach us about music. It's not going to show us the lines and the A-B-A-F-A-C-E and every good bird does fly and half notes and whole notes and chords and modulations and progressions and instrumentations and timbre and nuances and allegrettos and allegros and all this kind of stuff. But it's going to teach us how to be prudent towards music, as we'll see over the next couple of weeks here. Look at chapter 19. Now, just so we know that it's not just, I mean, it's the man that needs to be prudent. So if anything comes out of this series, if it makes you look ahead for music coming down the road, men, not your wife, but you, you make it your business what music your family listens to and hears. You know, have you ever left a place because of music? We have many times. But we haven't left a place sometimes, even though the music was terrible, because there was no place else to go whatever it was we were doing there. But we didn't stay long. And I did not want to have my kids hear it. However, today both of my kids are into junky music, so does it do any good to try? Sure it does. Because that'll be your judgment seat as a father. If they don't want to take heed to it, then that's their choice when time gets far enough along. So we see here in 19:14, it says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. So see, that's a good thing, that we would have a wife that would want to be prudent as well. She wants to look for the way. She wants to understand where this stuff is going. She wants to do the right thing. She wants your kids to be given the right stuff. Now, keep in mind, all sorts of differences there, though. Bunny trail here. You do a study through Proverbs, and when our children do something wrong, and it bothers the mother more than it seems to bother the father, and here's the woman that wants to be the holy and honorable, What is that that Paul talks about? Honorable. Is it holy? Honorable and devout. Honorable and devout women. Women want to do it the right way. Women want to do it just right. They want to follow the book. They want to follow the law. Women would be happy with the Levitical law being brought out again. I think a lot of them would be. They somehow think that they can do it, but when they aren't doing it themselves, they are very good at showing where us men are not doing it good at all. So, one of Paul's biggest enemies was honorable and devout women. I think it's Acts 13. But still, a woman should want to have what's right for her little darlings that she went through so much tribulation and pain to carry for 9 months and blow it out like a mushroom in the middle of a green lawn, you know, and her toadstool tummies and all that stuff, and go through the pain of what they go through. They would be concerned about their children. So see, when a child messes up, it's the woman that really gets upset. The woman can get bitter, and the woman can be hurt, and it says in the Proverbs that the woman will even want to leave after a while if it gets so bad. But it then shows that the man responds to it differently. And one of the things kids are good at over this music thing is they can go to mom, and they can get her to make a decision one way, and then go to dad, and if one agrees and one doesn't, they can play us between the wives and the husbands something fierce, because there is a difference. When a wife says to a husband, why don't you da-da-da-da about the children, you know, the man isn't looking at it that way. Man doesn't see the music as such an issue as many women do. So what have we got? We got a fight out of the deal. And the kids go merrily rolling along listening to their garbage music. Or even their good music, too much, or whatever. So, yes, a prudent wife is from the Lord. But we also realize that that wife is to learn from the man. So if men, if we realize that we have already let the crooks, the thieves come into our house, it's going to be tough to try to get them out of the house, I'll tell you. But if we're aware of that stuff, we can still get them out of the house. What do you do it? Well, you get the best weapon you can get. You get a 44 or 45 or a 96 or whatever you want to get for your gun, you can get that thief to leave your house if you get the drop on him. Well, you get a King James Bible, you can get this junk out of our houses that's already in our homes. We can get rid of that stuff. But you got to take the book to it, and you can get that stuff out of your house. Now, you may lose your family over it, but aren't you doing your job as a man? Do what's right. Don't try to flatter your family to keep them.
Ben, if you're out there and listening to this stuff, one of the things that kids don't want to do nowadays is allow dad to be the prudent man. Because sometimes dad makes a decision you don't like. And if dad's in his book enough, he'll realize that, well, dad, I'm going to trust you to steer me. That's pretty tough. Now, I also want people out there that have, and seriously, lousy fathers. I mean, lousy fathers. They may even say they're Christian King James guys. And if you followed them, you'd be immodest, you'd be rude, you'd be blaspheming the Word of God, you'd be all sorts of stuff. So, you know, this is tough. We don't have the parents that we can trust like we should. Really isn't a call for the little kids, but it is a call for, it is a possible call for the older kids. It's too bad the things are that bad, isn't it? It's really hard for a pastor to say, well, trust your father. I don't know any fathers that, man, I wouldn't trust them for 5 seconds. And I wouldn't expect the kids to either. One of the hardest things about me teaching is I see the problems kids have, and I know that most of it is parent-related. Why does our principal get all of our kids together and chew them off for having bad attendance? Elementary kids? Like, is it their fault they're not in school? They don't drive. It's their parents' fault. Let's go after the right people here. Anyway, let's get off that subject here. So we see in Proverbs that it is a prudent wife is from the Lord, and that's a good thing to have. Let's look here at 22. Let's go to chapter 22. This is the one I like the most. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Okay, now, that's my point. Does a man see the problem? Does he have a concern about music? And if he does, he hides himself. He hides himself and he hides his family. He keeps him from that stuff. He deals with it. Doesn't mean you have to just go off and hide behind a rock. You're going to hide yourself from it. You're going to learn how to avoid it. You're going to learn how to withdraw from it. You're going to learn why. And you're going to be able to explain it to your family. And it's tough stuff. It's tough stuff. And then lastly here, let's look at Proverbs 27. I know, women are so good with their prudency that they want their man to lead, but they want their man to lead the way they want them to lead. So, a lot of good that does. And I forget the name of that book that's out there, Magnificent Woman or something. I forget what that thing is called. It's a great hit in the churches. How to teaches the women how to make your man think he's leading the ship and yet you're still guiding it. How to make him think he's the boss. That's a big deal going on right now. I remember one of the ladies back at the church, back at that other place, said one time to me, "Oh, he doesn't lead us, but I just make him think he does." Yeah, that's too bad. 27 verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. There it is again. But the simple pass on and are punished. So, we're living in a day where there's tons of knowledge, but somehow us men don't know the knowledge we're supposed to know. We know this other piddly stuff that doesn't do any good for us. So let's get back on track. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. So I want us to be aware of music is a concern. And us men especially, but women, everybody that's out there, we need to be aware of the fact that this music is a dangerous thing today, if we already don't know it. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. A lot of people blame or they use the fact that God hasn't stopped them from listening to music. God hasn't told them that music is wrong. So they listen to it and they play it and they think, because God hasn't told me. Well, how's God going to tell you? Is he going to tell you in a dream? Is he going to stop you from listening? Is he going to destroy your record player, your CD, DVD, computer, TV, video box stuff? He's going to let it happen. Romans 2, the goodness of God. Let's it go for now. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, one of his biggest concerns is that we all be tricked. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you know these verses. Again, nothing new for you here. Would to God you would bear with me a little, you could bear with me in a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, and have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And by a fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Then you jump over to verse 13, and we've got people out there that are teaching good stuff, good morals, good righteousness, all this kind of stuff, but they're not teaching God's righteousness, which is Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, rightly divided through Paul, da 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 da. And he says here, for such are as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So if he can do it, why can't we do it? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. It's no great thing. I mean, it's no big deal. It's a piece of cake for a guy to get a pulpit and to get a church and to tell people what they should be doing that's right, and yet miss everything. That's called religion. Goes back to verse 4 of chapter 11. It says, "Or he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached," which they do, "or if ye receive another spirit," small s, "which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye would have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." That's Paul's fear.
My fear for our music is not only would it cause people to stumble, it would be not edifying, it would not be expedient, it would totally be an occasion to the flesh, but one of the things that bothers me about music, that when we listen to music that's not the clean kind of music, and it's not that for the wrong purpose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you're giving the devil a chance for some glory, or your flesh to glory. If our flesh glories, so does the devil. Does it have to be that way? No, it doesn't have to be that way. We can still do music that pleases God. Now, I wouldn't have Mark be playing Sousa on this website if I didn't believe that John Philip Sousa music was clean music. One, you would think when you get onto a church website or the preaching and stuff that there would be "Wonderful Grace of Jesus," you know, and "It Is Well," and all these kind of hymns. Well, that's true. Not a problem. Some of them, anyway. I don't do a lot of them anymore. And yet, Sousa, musically, is as clean as you'll get. It's even cleaner than Handel and Bach and those guys. Maybe sometime I want to put a Sousa side up and explain to people why Sousa should come so highly recommended by me, but I believe that Sousa music fits Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. I wrote from a musical standpoint. There's no words to it, so we don't have to worry about that. Just the music itself. John Philip Sousa, listen to him sometime. I've got one piece on my website, but Mark will zip some more to you. I could, I guess. Okay. So we're looking here at, should we be prudent men and be alert to what's coming in music? Sure we should. I don't have a problem with that at all. Now, dig up something here. Where did it go? Flip to the next page here. I'm going to try to redo one of these things that's online. So I'll try to follow order a little bit here instead of my own flapping my wing stuff. You know, we believe that too many people believe that if you're doing right, God will bless you, and if you're doing wrong, God will not bless you. You know, and here we have people that are talking right, doing right, you know, they're dressing right, they're trying to eat right, trying to smell right, do the right thing, hanging around the right kind of people, all that kind of stuff. And that there still may be something wrong in your life that's still is it robbing you of God's fellowship? No, because God will never pull away. Will it rob you of your salvation? No, because we can't lose that salvation. It can quench the Spirit, though. We can still do stuff in our life. The Spirit is quenched. Why else would Paul say, quench not the Spirit? Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Quench not the Spirit, verse 19. So apparently this Holy Spirit that's locked up inside us, sealed inside us, would have left
by now because of our music. See, look at Amos chapter 5. Backwards there. Amos, Hosea, Amos chapter 5. In verse 21 it says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. There was a time that God did not like the music that was being played to him in this temple worship day stuff.
Okay, so we have the Spirit of God in us now, and yes, all things are lawful, and yet our music can be such that it can still quench the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God can't leave, but apparently maybe some of our lack of victories in our lives is we reap what we sow, obviously, and it isn't God going to stop us. He says that in Romans chapter 2 again. But still,
can the Spirit of God be quenched, being stopped from doing what it would like to do? I look at it this way. I kind of picture the Holy Spirit as when I go into a store and the music's horrible. I just picture the Holy Spirit going, oh, I don't want to hear this. This is just impure. I don't want to be in here, but I can't leave. And he starts pounding to get out. Boof, 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 boof. You know, I want out. Get me out of here. And he can't. He's sealed. And how many times do we think, I should say, do we not think when we're into something we ought not be into? And maybe this music that we're listening to or hearing is quenching the Spirit such that we don't hear the verses that we've read. Well, you know, John 16 says that the Spirit of God is going to bring back those things that we've been reading. So I don't have a problem with that, memory or whatever. Spirit of God is not going to tell us anything we haven't read. He's not going to tell us something that's in Timothy if you've never read Timothy. A rocker gets saved. How is he going to know how to throw out his music until he gets into his Bible to realize he needs to throw out his music? God isn't going to just tell him that. It might be because of the goodness of religion that some of these guys change things, but it isn't going to be because God told them in the Scriptures, kind of a deal. So maybe one of the problems people have is based on their music. Maybe that's the quenching factor in your life. It's possible. Quench not the Spirit of God, quench not the Holy Spirit. So, isn't it possible that your music might be the problem here? Now, what if I don't listen to rock music and crummy music and jazz? I don't listen to that kind of stuff. I listen to Handel and Bach every chance I can get. But possibly you listen to Handel and Bach and all this good music when you should be reading your Bible? When you should be meditating, thinking about stuff? You know, driving down the road and you got to have your music going? Why? Why don't you turn your music off and roll the window down and let all the grasshoppers slap you in the face as you're driving down the prairie and just think about what it was like in those days to ride a prairie wagon across maybe 5 miles for the day, not knowing how many rattlesnakes there and all this kind of stuff, and maybe you had to ride through a buffalo herd and a prairie fire is behind you. Helps you appreciate what you're living in. Helps you appreciate that you've even got a car. You start appreciating what life is. All, you know what I'm saying? We don't think anymore. We kind of block our minds. We'll talk about that more later too. So maybe it's just good music. Remember what I said in Daniel chapter 3, I think it is, or Daniel 5. Daniel 5, talking about when they hear all kinds of music, they're going to bow down to the Nebuchadnezzar, the image of Nebuchadnezzar. That's a type of Antichrist. So all kinds of music is good and bad music. Isn't just one or the other. We've talked about that before too. Nothing new here. Nothing new here for you tonight. Okay, so maybe this is your problem. Maybe this is somebody's problem out there. And most people don't understand. How can that possibly be? It doesn't have words to it. It's just the music. How can music hurt me? Well, let's go to First Corinthians chapter 14. And we talk about voices. And when it says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7, even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So if you don't, what is distinction? How do you know what that music's supposed to sound like? And seriously, one of the worst subjects ever taught in schools, that should have been the most important, I know, all teachers say that, the sports guys say that too, and da-da-da-da, but no. Should have been the music class. Everybody should come out of school understanding the language of music, because the devil's going to use the world's music to bring everybody together, and if you don't understand that music, you're going to follow like a blind bat. And that's what's happening. Look up at verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Well, sure, it's all important. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I should be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And how many of you guys out there understand the language of music? The staff, the notes, the expressions, the tension resolving, the progressions, the purpose of progressions, and how it manipulates your flesh. How a good melody is compared to a bad melody. What's good harmony and bad harmony? What's good? How can you say Sousa is good? It's got a drum in it. A drum is nothing wrong with a drum. It's what you do with a drum. Nothing wrong with a cigarette unless you light it up and stick it in your mouth and breathe in like a moron. Or pay
$16 a pack or whatever that stuff is, and you wonder why you don't want to pay for your kid's school because you spend $300-$400 a month on smoking fags. Now, that's what's wrong with this. It's got a power over you. That's all it is. And you're polluting your body. Well, come on. What kind of chemicals are we eating every day? We pollute. Those people that think that they're eating organic, sure, we're eating more organic than we usually do, but there's so many chemicals in that stuff. You look at a candy bar, they can hardly get the ingredients on that paper. So we're poisoning ourselves. We are. We can't help it. You might have a couple good days of a good organic thing you grew in your garden, but come on. You're eating ramen noodles. I've heard that big one by lots and lots of people. I guess that's like the king of MSG. My kids are into that one now. They love it. And I go, oh, man, that's chemical stuff. And no wonder kids act like they do in schools. I think a lot of it's because what they had for breakfast and their food they have at night. It's just been proven. Why does a bowl of Sugar Crisp have to have 20 pounds of sugar and all those other chemicals that are in there? Can't you take some of those chemicals out and wouldn't it still taste like Sugar Crisp? It did when I was a kid. Hadn't even invented some of those chemicals when I was a kid. And it didn't even have the word chemical. Huh. Anyway. Okay. So, issue is, need to be concerned because it can affect our lives. It can affect our children's lives, how it can cause them to stumble. It can affect somebody who wants to see what it is to be a King James man, and you listen to crummy music, everything else you do is right, and they see you listening to some kinds of music, there goes your testimony, because they know better than that. Maybe they don't. It's a power over us. It isn't always expedient to turn on music, even if it's good music. If you want to have something going on in your house because you live alone, I can't imagine, I know some of you do, then pop on Scorby. And I know, listen, sometimes it's the last thing you want to do is to listen to some guy read his Bible out loud when you're lonely and you're home and you're kind of grumpy from work. That is the last thing you want to do is pop on, okay, fine. Then put on some good music for a little while. But if it becomes where that's all you want to do, you're hooked. And something has become a power over you, and right off the bat, whether good or bad, you're doing something wrong that doesn't please God. That's Paul's teachings. And sure, the Gospels talk about, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Okay, now we take that verse in John, and we think that if we do right, then we're going to have a more abundant, physically blessed life. That isn't what Paul says at all. If you're going to be a prudent man, you know the enemy you're going to have is going to be your own family. The more you love, you know the answer to that, the less you're going to be loved. The more abundantly you love, like Paul says, the less you're going to be loved. I promise you that. And somebody says, leave me alone. I say, no, I love you. I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm going to try not to let that happen to you. You know, I always say to my brothers, if you guys love me, you would tell me why I'm wrong with what I say about Bible. But you won't do that. You'll just get mad at me for not being a Lutheran. Tell me where I'm wrong, if you care for me. I care for you enough to show you where you're wrong in your doctrinal stuff, in your teachings. I care for you. I love you. Don't you love me to try to get me out of my stupidity that you think I'm in? Nobody cares. You think I'm wrong about music? Okay, show me. Or don't you care about me? Now you can do what you want. Then you don't love me. You tell us to people you love. You could care less if some bimbo is walking down the street with his boombox velcroed to his shoulder and bumping up and down in the street. By the way, we only have one boombox car in all of Kadoka. So I can put up with him. Kind of funny. But what do? You care for somebody, you tell them. If you don't want to tell them, you don't care anymore. You don't love them. Okay. Talked about Daniel. Talked about 1 Corinthians being a barbarian. The strings attached to our liberty. Here's one I didn't talk about. We'll try to get at it. We'll kind of finish it up here. Kind of an off the trail thing here. Let's go to Numbers. You know, I'm not sure everybody knows about this illustration. You know, we're supposed to go to the Old Testament for admonition and learning. Let's learn to see what it is Moses can teach us about music. It's in Numbers. I think it's around 20 something here. Yeah, Moses chapter 20. There we go. Yeah, right. Numbers chapter 20. And we know the first time that Moses, this is in Exodus chapter 17, these people were whining because they wanted water. You know the story. And he whacked a rock and boom, they got water. The second time around in Numbers chapter 20, these guys again are complaining. And God says to Moses here, he says in verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, which, remember, is a big assembly. And that, when you think about saying about numbers of biblical proportions, as they say, this is an amazing thing to picture, but that's okay. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and I hope none of you are thinking of Charlton Heston's little scene. That's just piddly stuff. You know, let the Bible show you the picture here. And Aaron their brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation of their beasts to drink. Okay, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Sometimes I feel like that. You know, listen, you guys, you're here. Why don't you want to read your own Bibles and figure this out yourself, kind of a deal back then? Anyway, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote. He wasn't supposed to smote it. He was supposed to say something to it. But look what happens in verse 11. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So Moses, what are you getting upset over? You got your water. Everybody was happy, except God. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Way to go, Moses. But he got what he wanted. He got it abundantly. It made everybody happy. But it was wrong. And Moses had to pay. We ought to be glad for the judgment seat of Christ, because that's where we're going to pay. We ought to be glad that there's no law, because now it doesn't matter whether you strike the rock or speak to it. The water's there for your getting. But if you still get it wrongly, it's not right. So you want people to come to your church more? Okay. Let's bring in Father Abraham and his 15 camels, his little rock group. You'll have people coming. Let's get rid of the King James Bible. People will start coming. Let's really push this music thing. I think I'm going to start, let's have worship teams. And come worship with us. That's safe. Everybody loves this music. We can all do this together. And we become united and unity, unified and all that stuff. And we love each other more. Because, come to our church, we'll come to your church, and we all sing together, and we do our little feely-feelies and rowdy-rowdies. And music is a great ecumenicalizer. It's a powerful ecumenicalizer. It brings everybody together.
It works, but it's still wrong. We can learn from Moses. He got it watered abundantly, but he did it wrong, and he had to pay. So, are we going to have to pay? Yeah, judgment seat. But God is going to strike us down. He's not going to keep us from going to heaven, which is what happened here. Moses was kept out of the promised land. That's why we still need to study Paul. So we know that can't happen to us, but still, it proves a point. Just because it works doesn't mean it's right. You know, you can get your kids to quiet down. You can give in and let them take the stick and beat their little sister. If you let him do it, he'll quiet down. If you give a kid a piece of candy in the store, he'll quiet down. If you let the kids walk around the house and rule the house, everybody will be happier for now. It's still wrong. And we will reap what we sowed. If not now, tomorrow. It isn't God punishing us. We are reaping what we sowed. I could go back and tell you in a million times what I did wrong as a father. And I can see right now that the kids are reaping because of it. But I could also do some things that would... I'm not going to do that. Anyways, we'll get into that stuff. I don't want to give in to this thing.
Okay, so there you go for tonight. That's just, again, another intro regarding the concerns of music and the prudent... What I want to get tonight is we need to be prudent men. Let's be aware of what's going on. I haven't got time. Take the time. This music will destroy Adriana. This music can destroy patients still. This music can destroy your kids, White Cottons. KG, if you're, I don't know what you got going on in your life, but it can destroy your children or family or whatever you come up to. You know, Sam, you had to play a lot of stuff in that submarine, I'll bet. And what are you going to do? Avoid that? Walk out, open up the top there and jump out during the water? What are you going to do? Tough thing. Anyway, there's a bit for music tonight. Hope that made sense to you. Hope the sound was okay. We'll get into more specifics here coming up here. Don't let the music quench the spirit, even if it's good music. Don't be doing music just for the sake of doing music. But when you do it, do the right stuff. If in doubt, pop on a Sousa, clean stuff. Anyway, there you go. Good night, y'all.